This is Indio Red Elk coming from Colorado Springs, and I love listening to Unspoken Words underneath the firmament in my regalia.
Episode 176 to take time for yourself and to focus on your own well-being. Episode.
You're being who can no one hey.
You're being who me.
Unspoken Words, episode 176. We are in a mother loving house.
In the same house.
All together, the triad plus one.
Oh, I'm so happy for you guys.
Balcon, it's good to see you together.
Shit.
Even after all that shit you went through,
your butt cheeks.
Oh, I was hoping one of you would get that one.
I was setting you up. I almost said it, but I thought,
man, I was setting you up, man. Oh, Randy, for taking that one.
Took the bait.
The kid in me.
Yeah, the LG in you.
It's LG thing.
All right. Over here to my left, all the way from L Jesus, number 83 in the place to be, and he ain't even trying to preach. It's the Pod Gotti, Randy B. Say hoka hey.
Mahalo.
Aho.
Mahalo, relatives.
Mahalo. Aho. Hey, and over here to my right, all the way from Bobwood 90990, he is your favorite Indian, your hole-in-one, your ace, JCB. Say, hoka hey.
Hoka hey.
Hoka hey, little big man. Ahoo.
Ahoo.
Hey, and special co-host in the house once again across the way from me tonight, all the way from Owl Creek, representing the OC Nation, the OC Disciples. Ron Jeremy himself, Ronald Falls Down Jr., say show die.
Hold on.
OC love, baby.
OC love. Nothing but OC love.
OC style.
It's an OC thing. You wouldn't understand.
You'll never know.
She didn't love me. She loved my OC style. Hey, and you know me, Mo Hugs Not Drugs, all the way from up the road in Arrow Creek. Hey!
Ahoo!
Ahoo!
And that felt good to get a full introduction.
For real. No, it felt good to do it.
A lot of energy.
Felt good to do the introduction. No, hey, we're going to get into Wellbriety. Ooh, those deadly eyes, Lulu.
Deadly eyes.
Deadly. No, it's kind of crazy, like, trying to be on the pod virtually, because, man, it was cutting out, and then I couldn't hear the transitions or the intro or anything.
It's weird, huh?
Yeah, so that part, we need to come up with some cues, but we'll address that later off air.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we're going to get into Wellbriety Step 3 here in a little bit. And Mr. Falls Down is going to chime in on that as a co-host. What is this, the fourth time you've been on, bro?
Yes, sir, the fourth time.
Ahoo.
Right. Four is a sacred number.
Ah.
Uh-hoh.
You've completed the circle.
Ahoo. Good medicine.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what your hoodie says. Good medicine.
Clever.
Yeah, before we do that, a little warm up. So we're gonna toss it over here to your favorite Indian. He's got some beef jerky or something going on over here. Take it away.
Hey, beef jerky. I need a beef jerky peyote song.
No, I just, beef jerky. Okay, you want nay? You want nay?
With jalapeno cheese and no wine, ain't no wine.
The thickest meat stick. Okay, you want nay?
Jalapeno habanero. No wine, no wine. Okay.
Okay.
No, I just said beef jerky because on that Mary Jane episode 160, you said we're talking about dying, and you said if I die in that. And we're out there on the
Mount Everest or something?
Mount Everest. You're like, you can eat meat. And I said, man, I'd probably be like beef jerky.
Like jerked meat?
Yeah, jerked meat.
Go ahead. Okay. Oh, check this out. So today we're going to find out if you fellas are smarter than a fifth grader.
Ooh.
And this is how we'll do it. We'll go up the grades. We'll start with first grade, second grade, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
So I'll say you got to get two right to go to the next grade. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, first up, we got the first day of the 20th century was
January 1st,
1900. Oh, 2000.
I missed the question. Sorry.
All right. The first day of the 20th century was
Monday.
I'm just kidding. It's always a Wednesday. January 1st, it was a Wednesday.
Okay, January 1st, what year?
2000.
Oh, yeah, 1900.
No.
It was 2000.
No, all of you guys got it wrong.
21st
century?
You said
1900, too.
Oh, okay.
It's January 1st, 1901.
What?
What? Yes. The 21st century?
Yes, the 21st century, yep.
How is that?
It's because 1900 is the end of the 19th century.
Ah. Oh, fun fact about that. Did you know that when it's your birthday, so I just turned 41 on your birthday, my 41st year was over, and I've started my 42nd year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes. Oh, yeah, huh?
That's nuts.
Crazy. Okay, check this out. All right, number two. So you guys are 0 for 1. If you, and this is first grade, I just want you to know. Tell me when you're ready.
Yeah.
Ready? You good?
Yeah.
Sun's right in his face.
Yeah, right in my eye.
See, you got to throw out a little bit of distraction.
I know.
Right in his brown
strategic.
Eye.
Strategic.
Right. His oh, God.
No way.
Gonna make your brown eye blue.
Yuck.
If you cut a quarter into thirds, how many pieces would you have?
A third.
Three.
Okay, we got one. Ding, 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 ding. If I have 5 apples and you have 4 apples, how many more apples do I have?
One.
All right. Okay, you got. Did I say two or should we do three? To move to the next grade.
Two.
All right.
Be here all night.
Second grade. On a class field trip, there are 4 buses taking 36 students to the zoo. Each bus has the same number of students. How many students are on each bus?
How many buses?
Are you listening?
No, I heard it, but I heard 36.
Okay.
Yeah, that's.
Pay attention. On a class field trip, there are 4 buses taking 36 students to the zoo. Each bus has the same number of students. How many students are at 9? There we go. Thank you.
Good with numbers, man.
If your mom buys 52 grapes and your dad brings home 34 grapes, how many grapes does your family have?
86.
Holy cow, this guy's good at math. All right.
Hey.
Hey, we got a math genius in the house.
Oh, holla.
Your mom.
Your mom and my dad.
Made wine with their grapes.
Was that what they were doing? All right, third grade. How many minutes are in a half hour?
30.
Okay, all right. If it's 5:30 when you leave for the store and 6:15 when you get there, how long did it take?
45 minutes.
All right, you guys are on to the fourth grade. 91 times 2 equals
91 times 2?
182. The interior angles of a triangle always sum to
90. What is it?
What?
45.
45. No.
Wait. 180.
180.
180.
Okay. If a train leaves the station and travels at 60 miles per hour, how much time will have passed when it arrives at a station 300 miles away?
5.
5 hours. All right. You guys are on to the fifth grade.
You're good at division, huh?
Yeah. I think that was multiplication, but okay.
No, that was division.
Was it? Damn, I hate
that. There's the very basic A plus B equals C.
Yeah.
A plus B equals C.
Or A times.
Because it's 60 times, well, 300, right? 60 times 10 is 600. You minus that by 3, or by, yeah, 300, and that's 300.
Well, 60 miles per hour is.
No.
Divisionals.
It's divisionals.
We're at state.
A hexagon has how many sides? Fifth grade. Eight. A hexagon has how many sides?
Eight.
Hexagon?
Hexagon.
5. Oh, no, 6. Sorry.
Oh, no, octagon's 8.
You
got to
let this guy get you. You guys got that one wrong.
Yeah, it's not 6.
That's
all right, it's not 8. I mean,
hexagon. You're
cheating. If a football field is 100 yards long, how many feet long is the football field?
300.
All right, you guys made it to the fifth grade.
Oh.
Those are all math questions now that
Wichita.
I want to try a couple other ones? I'll try one each. Because those were all.
Itchick.
You did that pretty good. That was good.
Itchick.
Itchick.
So these ones are those were all math questions. I didn't even realize that. I thought they were just random. But this one is history and social studies.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
All right. Which language is the most widely spoken in South America?
Senegalese.
Portuguese.
Nope.
South America?
Spanish.
Oh, he saved you. He saved
that was
going to
be my first guess, but then I was like, that's too
why
obvious.
Did I say, yeah.
Senegalese. I think that's in Africa.
Africa. I thought you said Africa. Oh, yeah. South America, huh?
He said Africa. Communities are where who lives, works, and plays.
Huh?
Communities are where who
people.
Lives. People. That was an easy one.
It's for the people.
What?
The Bilo guy. Agi
Balakbaga. Say that.
Balesh Balakbaga.
What are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution called?
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments.
Bill of Rights.
The Bill of Rights.
Bill of Rights. Yes.
All right,
senator
we're
over here.
Grade now. This guy got all the government ones, huh?
He's a politician. That's he's running for chairman 2024.
That's why I vote.
Official release, press release.
That's why he's on, and he's gonna announce his
candidacy.
The Emancipation Proclamation did what?
Released the slaves.
Freed slaves. Holy cow, you guys are smart. You guys are on top of the game tonight.
Theoretically. We're all a slave today.
Yeah. In theory.
Theoretically.
But that same day he signed that, he hung 16?
38.
Dakota warriors.
Out there in, Minnesota.
And now you know.
The rest of the story.
The first. the first fire.
Yeah.
The rest of the story. Man, I miss that guy. Hey, did you know Willie Nelson died?
No way.
What?
He's playing on the road again.
Yeah. I'm like, no way, dog.
What was I going to say? Oh, the first fireworks were invented in what country during the 7th century?
North Korea.
No.
China.
How did we know that?
As I told you, the Chinese are first to do everything.
No, they were kind of like, during the Industrial Revolution, they kind of didn't really interact with a lot of other people, huh? Mm. They built their own. Yeah, like they built their own back then. So it's,
even now, man, like they don't have any of our social media. They won't allow it in their country.
Oh, wow.
Like, they don't they have their own. They have their own like social media.
Isolated.
Stuff. I wonder what it's called, huh?
Okay. Fourth grade question. Ponce de Leon discovered Florida, but what was he actually looking for?
Haiti.
Haiti. Mm-hmm. No.
Your call as us. Your great call as us.
In Haiti. Your great call as us in Haiti.
India.
India. No. Oh, he was looking for the Fountain of Youth.
What?
What?
I mean, oh, that's like, my grandma's.
Yeah, he was looking for my call. Should have went to Haiti. Name two of Columbus's three ships.
The Nina, Mayflower. The Pinta, and the Santa Maria.
The Mayflower. Stick to politics.
I was singing that song.
Started singing. All right, Nina, fifth grade. Pinta, okay, you're back. You're up to fifth Maria. Grade now.
Stick to politics.
Mayflower. Oh, hey, that's not a bad guess, though.
Yeah, it's not.
What was the name of the last queen of France?
Les Mis.
Les Mis.
No, I'm just kidding.
What did they say on Home Alone?
Call a call, yeah.
Hey. Remember when he speaks French on Home Alone? You guys don't remember that part? Yeah, I forgot. Remember Buzz?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Buzz, comes. Your girlfriend. Yeah. Woof.
Man, this is a goof party tonight, huh?
Did you know that was one of the, like, I think it was like the director's son dressed as a girl?
Ooh.
That picture.
What?
Oh. Yeah.
Ron Howard or whatever?
I can't remember who directed it, but it was, I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere.
Huh. Wow.
Trivia. Trivia is fun. Marie Antoinette. I don't think you'll ever get that one. Okay. No. Well, I'll ask one more, and you guys got to finish strong.
Marie.
What was the most widely grown crop in the middle colonies?
Sugar cane.
No.
What was the question?
What was it?
What was the most widely grown crop in the middle colonies?
Men.
Men?
Middle colonies? Oh, men. No, I was going to. I almost said something, but I didn't want to be like.
Cotton.
Cotton, yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to be racial. Be like, no. Like, yeah.
Why would it be racial if it was true? I mean, but it's not. That's facts. Not the answer.
Linen.
Tobacco.
No.
Wacky tobacco.
In the middle colonies?
In the middle colonies.
Corn. Like maize.
Like 40 mile?
No. No.
No, 8 mile.
Potatoes.
No.
Oh, what?
Alcohol.
Tea. No.
Alcohol?
No.
Now how do you grow alcohol?
I don't crop.
Grapes.
Wheat.
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 Thank you.
Oh, man.
Hey. I knew it was wheat. Hey, Bach.
Man, you guys passed that test. I was testing you.
You guys did very, very well. I applaud your, especially your math abilities and your political knowledge.
Your math abilities and your political ideologies. You guys got to work on your history.
But y'all don't know shit in history.
Y'all don't know shit about social studies.
Mayflower.
Baloney. You guys feel warmed up? Or are you going to do another one?
It chick.
It chick. Do another one.
Antonetta.
I'm in love with Mary Jane. She's my main thing. She makes me feel all right. She makes my heart sing. And when I'm feeling low, she comes as no surprise. Turns me on with her love. Takes me to paradise. Do you love me, Mary Jane? That's for you, Mary Jane.
Oh.
Hit us up.
Okay.
All right, then. So you guys are feeling warmed up, ready to do this?
Yes, do this.
Let's do this shit, then.
Let's get it.
All right, then. So, DJ, if you're ready, why don't you hit me with that beat?
Yo, let's get into our topic. Yo, let's get into our topic.
Do, 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 do. Mary Jane. I'm waiting for you guys to sing.
No, that song stuck in your head. Oh.
Yeah. I don't know the words.
I'm in love with Mary Jane. All right.
That's the only part. And start dancing like Smokey.
Yeah. Rick James, y'all. Rick James. R.I.P. All right. So we're going to get into this episode. This is Unspoken Words, episode 176. And we're doing Wellbriety Step 3, which is we complete the first cycle. Like, so steps 1, 2, 3, you're facing the east. The theme for these three steps is find the creator. And step 1 was honesty. Step 2, hope. Now step 3 is faith. And I'll go ahead and read this, and I'll give my first take, and I'll open. Then I'll give my take, and I'll open it up to these gentlemen here. It says, we made a decision to ask for help from a higher power and others who understand. So that to me, like right away, just like I remember thinking back to that when I was going through that step, like surrender. Surrendering, like wanting to be in control. That was like my biggest, one of my biggest downfalls was like always wanting to be in control of like everything. Even down to like my playlist, I've shared that on here, you know, like back in the day, iPods, remember those?
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't even like listen to my iPod on shuffle.
Nanopod.
Yeah. Nanopod had all those. So I mean, it was just like, I was just so like, type A personality, like hardcore, like everything had to, you know, just had to be so. And if it wasn't, man, I lost my shit. And I'd start getting all pissed and frustrated and stuff. And but once I let that go, I let that peace go. Like the only, when I realized that I only have control of my own actions and that's all I have to be worried about. That's all. I mean, I only have to control my own actions. And so that's what I should control. So that's it. Like, sigh of relief for me. Cause then I could trust in my higher power. And also others, like asking for help, you know, because prior to this teaching, like finally sinking in, I always felt like I had to figure it out on my own. I put that pressure on myself to do it on my own and not ask for help or not delegate or not any of that, like no help at all. Cause I seen it as a sign of weakness. And I see that in a lot of our brothers and sisters that come to this step or come to recovery and they don't reach out and they don't pick up that phone cause it weighs 1,000 pounds or they don't hit up a meeting in a time of distress because they're like, okay, I got this. I got to figure this out on my own. I shouldn't be feeling this way. I shouldn't blah, 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 blah. Like all of that. That was me. And when I poke fun at that kind of stuff, I'm poking fun at my me. Like when I was in that state where like I was just so weak that I couldn't even reach out for help. I couldn't stop what I was doing right then and there and pray. Cause like I seen that as weakness. Like today I understand that I'm faced with something, man. I could hit up Randy. I could hit up Ron. I could hit up JC and run it by them or just use them as a sounding board or, you know, just get, tell them what's happening and get their perspective. And a lot of times just getting it out or even just calling time out because I got unlimited timeouts every day and removing myself from the situation and going and praying about it and then spending some time in silence afterwards. Then I'm like, then the world's not coming down, not coming to a crashing end like I had it playing in my head. I can lean on my higher power. I can lean on my fellowship. I can lean on those that are walking the red road. But anyway, that's what like my initial kind of response or my initial spiel. So I'll open up to you guys. Whoever wants to jump in, go right ahead. Take it away. 4 push-ups, brother.
Four push-ups. Diddle.
Diddle.
No, I think that's huge, bro. Like, when I think about, like, my journey, like, making that decision, like, hey, like, I guess, like, I didn't realize back then that I was reaching out for help or, like, you know what I mean, though? Like, I didn't really see myself succeeding in that. But then driving myself to treatment, bro, like, I realized, like, I couldn't do it on my own. You know, and then even coming home, like, I remember, like, being scared this time, like, to come home.
Yeah.
Like, after everything, like, I knew, like, I got the go-ahead because I remember, like, praying and kind of going through this process. And and I don't know if I've talked about it previously, but I remember, like, passing this test over there. And, like, they asked me to be on the leadership team, and I was considering it. And I'm like, man, everything inside me didn't want to accept that, you know? I'm like, man, God, they don't, you know, whatever that process is. And I remember just being like, man, you have to show me.
Mm.
And then I go, then finally that night I went to bed and I was like, man, God, I'll do it then. I don't want to do it, but I will. The very next morning we're at Proverbs and I remember like that morning we got up at like 5:30 and I remember like waking up and going and I just had this like in my spirit. I don't know how to explain it, but just as knowing like God was like, this ain't the place for you, you know? Mm. And I remember hearing clearly like the voice, like just, you know, inside. And he's like, I just wanted to see if you would obey me.
Mm.
I'm like, man, you know? And I went to the thing. I'm like, man, you got to confirm it though. Like about 7 o'clock comes and the lead pastor shows up in a facility that I'm at. And he's like, man, Randy, come here. I went over there. He's like, I don't know what it is, Randy. He's like, I've been praying this morning, and I don't know how to say, but I don't think there's the place for you, you know?
Mm, mm.
And I was like, man, and dog, like, I just got this huge smile and went back to the table, and I knew that I was going to leave, you know? Like, I knew that I was going to leave, but there was inside, like, man, I was scared to come home, and I remember reaching out to somebody, like, my own support system, and like, because I realized, like, this time, like, although I didn't know how long I was going to stay sober, I knew that I couldn't do it alone, and I had very little people trusting in me at that point.
Yeah.
And it became this time where I'm like, God, like, I don't even know how to pray. You have to teach me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know how to pray. And man, I recounted, it's funny because I just recounted the story yesterday to a coworker of mine, and but I remember staying in the smallest room of the big house. And the process that I was in at the time was like, man, like, you know, God had it miraculously delivered me from an air embolism.
Mm.
And then 7-8 months down the road, like, I'm literally, like, fighting for my life, you know what I mean? Like, drive myself to treatment, finish that, come back in May. And the house that I'm living in, there's marijuana in there, there's, you know, women in there, there's, you know, like, all the stuff that I was battling. And I remember 4th of July, like, just being threatened with dope use, and not threatened, but, you know, it was offered.
Yeah.
And the person that offered it to me was freaking somebody that was, you know.
Mm.
And I'm like, man, like, but I was being in this point of, like, where I had to develop this place of prayer. Like, going into prayer and really being prepared before I would face each day. Like, that's how real it was for me.
Mm.
I didn't have I remember, like, even, like, when we met, remember? Like, not met, but, like, once we started functioning together, like, you had to remind me what year I was in.
Yep.
You know? Like, you're like, hey, this is, you shot it in the group text, like, this is where you're at, you know? And I'm man, like, because to me, I remember, like, one of my aunts saying, she's like, I don't know why you count your days, because you're just counting until the day you use again. And that spoke to me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know? That's what worked for me. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, but making that decision to ask, like, man, my help had to come from somebody outside of myself. I also had to rely on people outside of myself, and I had never been in this place before. I think a lot of us haven't. But when I think about that journey, bro, like, man, I was doing things that were brand new, and then I remember, like, jumping on social media and seeing a friend of mine who just passed a year. At that time, I was 6 months sober, and I said, man, God, I have never been here before. I don't know what 1 year tastes like. Let me get there. Like, it was literally like a walk with God, like, where God, like, promises to walk with us, you know, in these tough seasons, these times of reflection. And that's where my prayer life really developed. And when I look back on it and looking at, like, step three, bro, like, we made a decision to ask for help from a higher power and others who understand. And I'm so thankful and grateful for the people that chose to stick by me at a time when I wasn't very lovable.
Mm.
You know, I was like, when I look back on it, I don't even think I would have the patience for myself of how raw and how hurt I was. Like, man, just coming out of the world, like, you know what I mean? Like, man, up until then, my life was just filled with addiction, whether it was alcoholism, drug addiction, like, whatever I was battling. And then coming out, like, man, my younger brother, like, choosing to love me at a time when the rest of my family couldn't love me because I hurt them too much.
Yep.
And then I look back on it, I'm like, man, like, that was the greatest thing that my mother could ever do. Was remove herself from my inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, like, 9 years later, bro, like, we have a better relationship than we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I talk to her daily, like, not to get into specifics, but when I look at it, I'm like, man, like, hey, this is how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to rely on somebody stronger than myself because I wasn't very strong.
Mm.
You know, I'm so thankful, but it had to, like, for me, I had to come to this place of humility. Like, I had to realize, like, hey, man, everything that I've done up to this point was wrong. Almost everything that I've done, hardly any of it was right.
Yeah.
You know, nobody could tell me better. Nobody could correct me. Nobody could guide me because I knew it all. And sometimes I feel like I still do know it all. You know what I mean?
I know.
You really need to work on that. But I think, like, when I think about it now, man, I look at my bros, like, right now, like, man, all you guys sitting here at this table, like, growing and becoming a unit, bro, like, this is what those decisions back then have led to. To a place of, like, man, now the fruit of our, now we're walking in the fruit of those prayers that we made years ago. You know, like, even coming together, like, 3-4 years ago, bro, like, and developing this podcast into what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
We started, like, the show with the, you know, shout out, you know, from Mr. Red Elk.
Yep.
And I think that's amazing, bro, but we couldn't have done it on our own strength. We couldn't have done it in our own power. We had to rely on something bigger than us. We had to rely on people stronger than us because they knew the way and we never. I ain't even. No, I'm just kidding. But that's kind of
for free.
But that's kind of like where my mind goes because now, like, I'm in a place where just being grateful for the people that we encounter in the circle that we're surrounded with.
Yeah.
And I think, like, man, yeah, like, I wouldn't trade it, bro. Like, the process, like, even though it hurt, even though it was raw, like, I wouldn't trade having to rely on somebody stronger than myself.
Yep.
You know, that's why I don't really live by that. You know, people say and they mean it with good intentions when they say, God will never give you more than you can handle. And I'm like, man, that's a lie. Not in, you know, in a disrespectful way, but it's like, no, I feel like God gives us more than we can handle because it allows us an opportunity to reach out and have him save us.
Mm. Yep.
But, yeah, that's kind of where my mind goes.
Mm. Itchy.
No, let me chime in on that real quick right there, because, like, along those same lines, like, I've had difficulty with sponsors. Like, two of them relapsed on me. One just quit going to AA altogether. and this was, like, in the first year of my, couple years of my recovery, and I was just kind of like, what the hell? But hindsight's 20/20. When I look back, God was, like, taking these, bringing these guys into my life and then taking them out because he didn't want me to rely on man.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted me to rely on him. But it did, you know, wanted me to rely on him. And I was just kind of like, I see that now.
Yeah.
But in those times, I was like, WTF, man, what's going on? You know? But go ahead. Falls down.
Oh, okay. threw me right into the fire. Yeah. Anyway, so for me, step three on the AA side, it took affirmative action. I had to regather myself. I had to everything, you know. When I got back from prison, I had nothing. No clothes, nothing. And I had to start from the bottom. And so along somewhere along the way, I went to this AA retreat. And a bro asked me to do a solid. And I was like, probably 90 days in, and he's so they teach you in AA, like, if they ask you to do a solid, then you can't say no.
Mm.
But the solid was playing a skit.
Yeah.
And I don't do skits. Even in high school, I wasn't even that type, you know, because growing up on a reservation, especially in Albuquerque, like, I was so closed off to, you know, and I guess, I don't know, just I didn't really... I wasn't open-minded to anything, you know? So when I came to Billings, it was, everything was new. It was fun. It was exciting. But at the same time, I didn't know how to carry myself. I didn't know how to handle myself. And so, like you said, I couldn't rely on man. And I seen that in 90 days in, you know, because when I came back from the retreat Sunday, the very next day while I was working at Tyrama, I used to walk around the block, you know, and ask for, I'd meditate. And I pray and I meditate, and all right, asked for, at the time I was struggling financially, like, big time, and I was asking for financial relief, I guess. Yeah. And anyway, so, and before the retreat, you know, I'd go pray 10 o'clock on my break, 2 o'clock on my break, you know, and I pray and I walk. Anyway, so, funny story, I get back from the retreat and I'm parked at the cap shop right downtown, and so this lady swerves to miss another accident, to avoid another accident.
Yeah.
She swerves on off the lane and right into a curb.
Yeah.
And she jumps that curb and smacks right into my Monte Carlo in the back, totals it.
Yeah.
Hey.
But I had full coverage.
Yep.
Anyway, so long story short, my car was paid off and I got like 1,000 back, you know, 1,300. But that was my financial, you know?
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty funny. Like, God has a sense of humor that I have that he gave me. So I understood what he was, you know? So so then I knew right there. It was like 90 days in. I was struggling. That was the hardest 90 days of my life. and then I got a sponsor on around that time, and started chairing meetings and this and that, you know, and I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Yeah.
I was just trying to, I guess, look good for, you know, the POs. I had a state PO and a Fed PO, but it was just, you know, that just trying to look good. So fast forward to 2024, I got some news about my mom and it hit me hard, you know, it was devastating. Mm. And the only person I wanted was my dad at that time, I remember, because I felt so empty inside. Well, that emptiness came from me not doing my readings, my prayers, and my meditations in the morning. Because life got so good, I, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I pushed God out.
Oh, yeah.
We do pushed that. God out. And so... I was chairing a Saturday morning meeting one day, and it's the 12 and 12, you know, in AA, and we get a lot of, I guess, you know, honesty in my meeting, and a lot of people come, you know, and my sponsee said, they come because it's you, you know, because I'm trying to pass it out, because, you know, like,
yeah.
It's been a year now, so I'm trying to pass it on. He said, oh, they come because of me. I'm like, nah, dude, it's the book, you know, and it's the way you carry yourself, whatever. And so anyway, this lady came. I don't even know her. So she came in and she told her story. You know, she's married, had a career, all this good stuff, right? Was pregnant. And within 10 months, she lost everything because she got away from praying and meditating and reading and doing all those good things, you know. So we push God out, and I mean, I'm guilty of that.
Yeah,
you know, like I turned my back on God, and you know, in the early 2000s, because you know, like, man, my baby sister passed away, and then my big sister passed away, and then my brother Wayne Brin passed away. You know what I mean? And it's just like all these people that I was like literally close to. And they were passing, and it did something to me mentally. And so, kind of, you know, without kind of realizing, I pushed God out, and I was on self-will. Everything was on self-will, even the drugs, even, you know. And I got bitter. I got resentful. I got all these different things. And so, you know, that was my Owl Creek days. And I was so, I don't know. I was such in a bad place that I'd be alone. I'd be all alone at my house, you know. I had a truck, had a house, everything, you know. And it's like I'm alone because I pushed, because of my anger, you know. Everybody had to get away from me, like kind of like Randy, you know. And so that was a good place for me to begin, I guess. So I'm going to be honest with you too, man. Like everything I do, if I don't have God in it, then you know, it just destroys itself. One thing in particular is relationships with women. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I get with this woman, I like her, you know, it's all good, everything's good. And then I show up. I show up. Self-will, that's that self-will. And I push God out, and she's God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just turns in, for me, it turns in her, she's God now. I push God out, you know, and she's God. So everything, it's like, you know, trying to impress.
Please her, yeah.
Please, you know, all that, whatever. And I'm going to be honest with you, man, that for a long time, like, that hindered me. And I didn't even know. And one day, you know, I was doing my prayers and my meditations, and it hit me. And man, it kicked me in the nuts. You know what I mean? Like, literally just boom. And man, it's like, from there, I was like, okay, God, I understand what you're trying to teach me, you know, because it's like teaching, you know. Learning is always my thing these days, you know. I'm learning from Randy constantly. I'm learning from everyone, you know. Fellowship of AA, that's kind of what it's, I mean, that's what it's all about, you know.
Yeah.
And building relationships and different bonds, and you know, and it opens different doors. And so today I've been blessed, you know, within the fellowship of AA, without AA and without God, you know, like, where would I be? You know, I probably wouldn't even be sitting here right now. But a lot went into it, though, you know, of my sobriety. My mom was, you know, my biggest supporter, my hugest supporter. And since 2014, when my dad passed away, she was on her knees praying for me and my sister to get out of addiction and alcoholism and all that other stuff that comes. You know, she's literally on her knees. And for me to try to fathom that, or like, picture her praying for me on her knees, that's kind of like, I don't know, it drives me crazy. Like, she shouldn't have to do that for her son, for her baby boy, you know. So I, like, all of the stuff that I went through, like, step three, I had to surrender, and I had to accept God as, you know what I mean, my higher power, that, like, and that's what keeps me going. You know, like, Randy was the key in my sobriety, you know, mm-hmm. and then as time went along, then I met Josiah, met JC, you know, and then, like, it's pretty, like, a solid group. Like, I can talk to any one of you. And but I got a sponsor today, and man, he's pretty good.
Man, I met him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. He's got 11 years of sobriety, and just, you know, I've been blessed ever since I surrendered. You know, took affirmative action, and I just, you know, I was up, so I just laid down. And I said, God, go ahead.
Yep.
And today, you know, I get texts, I get requests, you know, can you be here? Can you do this? Can you be here? And I'm getting kind of to the point where I have to have delegates.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, you know what I mean? Like, a politician. Anyway, so it's like, but that's a blessing, you know, because I learn from each and every one of you on the things that you share. And then I hold back a lot, you know. I like to be like goofy, funny, try to be, you know, because that's what gets me going in the morning. It's like, I don't know, whatever I think is funny, like, I'll post it on social media. And,
yeah.
And my kids, my daughter knew, my youngest.
Yeah.
But my oldest, she's like, do you post good morning every day? And I was like, yeah, that's part of my routine, you know. I mean, it's just
the
thing I do, you know. I mean, I'll read, and I'll pray, and I'll meditate, and then, you know, that's when I'm kind of like just ready, you know, to...
Ready to joke.
Yeah, for the day. Because that's what keeps me going, you know.
And, for sure.
Yeah.
And so, like, today, you know, I work with a fellow AA.
Mm-hmm.
My boss, he's in AA. So, all day long, you know, in our little breaks, it's always about, you know, we find solutions. You know, yeah. One day he was really struggling with his family, you know, and his whatever, anyways, and... anonymity is kind of, you know, it's really important. But anyway, I'm going to share this little part with him. He was kind of struggling with his family, especially his wife's mother.
Mm.
And so he's got, you know, and he wasn't going to family functions and things like that. And I guess it just kept piling up because they're alcoholics. All of them are alcoholics, but he didn't want to engage in that because, you know, you invite evil right off the bat.
For sure.
So anyway, long story short, he... was kind of getting into it, and he was like, I don't know what's going on around it. And I was like, what if you outgrew her?
Mm.
I said, we outgrow people.
Yeah.
I said, it's devastating, but, you know, sometimes, you know, when you outgrow a person and they take it personally, it's nothing personal. You know what I mean? It happens. You know, when you're growing, you outgrow people, especially if you're working a 12-step program. And for me, that's what I had to share with him. And then something clicked.
Yeah.
And him. And today, you know, man, he's just like reading pamphlets and all these different things. Like, he's gathering everything, you know what I mean? And and when he comes to me, and it's like, you know, I could kind of weasel my way around. But because I don't do a lot of readings.
Yeah.
But I like to do the, you know what I mean? Like, share. I like to talk with, you know, find solutions.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, like... arguments, or, you know, if you're trying to, like, I don't know. But the biggest thing for me was failure.
Mm.
Like, I feared even success. I was, you know, I feared everything. Like, I was scared to be successful. I was scared to fail. I was scared to, you know. And so I was in my own little prison for a long time that, you know, I finally had to release, like Randy said, you know, you have to have that power greater than yourself, or even people that, you know, have that wisdom and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had to rely on that for a little bit. But, man, today it's like, it's hard because a lot of Native Americans come to my meeting like once or twice, you know, it's all good. What's up, man? Hey, man, you know, I'm glad you're doing this. Yeah, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I don't see him again.
Mm-hmm.
And I see him, I hear about him again, and they're in Harden.
Yeah.
Or they're on the res, or, you know what I mean? And I feel for that, so I pray, you know, constantly for these people that I came across. I mean, like they say, you know, you don't come across anybody just, you know, by
by accident.
By accident. And so like today, like when I meet a lot of people or when I meet these people, like I try to be open and honest, you know, and like, mm-hmm. like I'll tell them what's up, you know, like, especially if they're young in sobriety, because like you can already tell if they're about it or not.
For sure.
And so that's why I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's something I do and it's probably wrong, but I want to see, I want to know what you're about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, especially. And so some of them are pretty cool, man. Like, you know, there's a few, give a shout out to a few, you know, but you know, it's great to have them. It's, they have, and like people are shy. Like you said, you know, like that weakness.
Yeah.
That was my biggest thing. Like I didn't want, like if I didn't know how to read or like if I didn't know a word,
yeah,
I'd just stop. I, you know, and
yeah.
then someone would say it for me and then I'll keep reading.
Yeah.
But just that I look weak.
Yeah.
Or if I don't know a word, like in my, especially in my meeting, like it's literature meeting. So come across a word that I don't know. And I'm like, what's that mean? You know, like I'll ask the people that are attending the meeting anyway. So
yeah.
I had to get past that fear, you know, of like looking weak because, yeah. you know, so that's what God did for me. You know, like God did for me what I couldn't do for myself.
Mm.
They always say that in AA, and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I mean, so yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I got, you know, I mean, as far as, but I grew up, in a Christian home since 1983. So it was easy for me. For that transition, I mean, it wasn't that easy, but it was like I had to realize that I did turn my back on God, and I did, you know, all those different things. So
mm-hmm.
it's pretty today. Like, and if I don't do my prayers and meditation, like it just right off the bat, you know.
Yep.
So I got to make time for that. So I wake up, you know, pretty early, and it takes like 45 minutes to an hour. So you know,
yeah,
it's but it helps me. That's what helps me. That's what helps me keep sober. That's what helps me. And I accomplished a lot, you know. I mean, just within these few years, you know, I got my child support paid. I got my kids back. I got, you know, I got a apartment. You know, I worked for all these things. And, man, today it's like, you know, it's a blessing. I can see all that. But I had to go through a lot of humility, you know, just to. But when I finally took it serious, then things started happening. So. Yeah,
definitely. Like, and then it goes all back to this step three. Like you made that decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely. That's right on. Favorite Indian.
I don't think I can follow that.
Yug.
Don't talk to us like that.
You like it.
Yeah.
No, I, when I was reading that book, or reading the book earlier today, kind of looking at step three, and it had that word faith in there, and I got the definition that it has in the dictionary, that number one, complete trust or confidence in someone or something; number two, strong belief in God or in the doctrine of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. And one thing I learned early on when I, because you all heard about my story when I was locked up in the shoe for 11 months. And one thing I learned right then and there was when I asked, you know, send me things that I need when I need them. And that just it's always held true, because you'll never know what you're going to, when you know, I never know when I'm going to hear something that I didn't even realize that I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
And I heard something from each and every one of you just now.
Mm-hmm.
Just now, tonight, right now, from each one of you. So I want to thank you guys for sharing that. I'll start there. But, you know, like in the past, and this kind of goes along with a lot of what all of you guys were saying, is like I was putting my faith in outside things, obviously, you know, drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. You know, this is going to get me through. I can drink this, or, man, if I smoke this, I'll feel better. This is going to make me okay. But, oh, and then, of course, you know, putting your faith in other people who don't have my best intentions at heart. And, you know, and a lot of them are close to me. And, you know, they say, you know, I care about you, I love you, and they do. but they can't express that love in a healthy way because they don't love themselves. Right? And these, and I'll tell you what, and these people are, those people are full of shit. And the only reason I know this is true is because I was full of shit. That's how I know. And,
I know. I know you are.
And you know, and I'm just, you know, in the past, I'm always putting my faith in other people. Like, okay, this is, and kind of going about like what Ron said too, is if I put my faith in you, then you're the one that's going to save me. Or if I, like how he said it, if I put you as my centerpiece, my God, my higher power or whatever, then, you know, that's going to make me happy. But again, like, man, people, a lot of people just have their own interest in their, you know, whatever it is that they're doing. And the thing with that is like, man, I was always around, you know, birds of a feather flock together. So I was always around other addicts and alcoholics. So I know damn well that I wasn't getting anything of substance from them. I wasn't getting, you know, and man, this a coworker told me a story about somebody asking, you know, hey, can you get me some drugs? And she's sober now, and she said, hey, no, I ain't gonna do that. If you want somebody to do that for you, ask somebody who doesn't care about you.
Mm.
And that just kind of blew me away when she said that, and I was like, yeah, you're right. Rather than the person say, hey, man, I know you're not feeling good. Let's go drink. Or I know you lost a loved one, man. Let's go get high. But and that's where I always found myself. And also forgetting the fact that I myself was important. I myself had worth. I myself had value. Because I never really truly like loved myself.
Mm.
I never, you know, I never saw myself as good or worthy to have good people around me. Like real, true, you know, honest to goodness, real motherfuckers around me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then once I started growing and I started, you know, figuring things out about myself, then that's when those true people start popping up.
Mm.
And they're few and they're far between. And I still have trouble trying to discern that. I really do. But at the same time, it's like, man, okay, so I'm putting my faith in certain things and it didn't pan out. Okay, well, now, before I would have just, you know, I could have just fell apart. I mean, I just give up, man. You know, fuck all this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. I tried. I asked God for this. And one of my biggest defects is like, I want what I want and I want it yesterday.
Mm.
So if I ask, you know, and I used to, and this used to be my mindset, like, man, if you're such an all powerful God and all this and that, all you have to do is reach down and touch me and I'll be healed. That's all you got to do. Why won't you do it? Why didn't you do it yesterday when I was crying my eyes out?
Mm.
When I was hurting, when I was lonely? Why didn't you do, you know, and that used to be my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But remember last time I was talking about resilience.
Yep.
And all those times when, man, I felt like I was at the breaking point. I'm like, this is the lowest you can get, man. I got nobody, is hurting. I'm crying. I'm by myself. But I somehow made it through, somehow made it to the next minute, to the next hour, to the next day. It's the same thing with faith. Like, I didn't know I was being resilient at that time. It didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
No, man. But it's that same way with faith. Like, there were times when I was like, man, I'm questioning this whole thing. Like, I don't even get it. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm going through the motions and I'm praying and I'm doing all this and that. And, you know, where's my aha moment?
Mm.
But then I realized that that's not how it works. Sometimes if you're lucky, I mean, yeah. I mean, we probably all experience miracles in our life, and that's great. But I'm a firm believer in that. I experience miracles, but I never even know it.
Yeah.
I think about how many times that, and you guys could probably relate, I think about how many times of I put myself in jeopardy. I did stupid things. I was reckless. You know, just all those using years, and yet came out relatively unscathed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I took my knocks, but I know so many people who aren't with us anymore.
Yeah.
And just from a simple decision, it all started with one simple decision. And then from that one decision, you know, other things happen. And yet to me, it's like, how many times has God carried me through? How many times has God said, no, this car is going to stay on the road? How many times is, you know, like, no, I'm going to let you lose that bottle because if you drink the rest of it, that might be it.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, those to me are like, and I stopped praying for, you know, the miracles that I want. Just started praying for miracles that I need.
Yeah.
And to me, there's a big difference. And I still, you know, I still struggle a lot because of the way my mind works, man. I got a serious anxiety thing.
Mm.
And I let it get to me. I let it get to me. My mind races and I catastrophize shit. And I always think the worst. And that's so easy. Like, your imagination is a powerful thing, but man, it's a blessing and a curse sometimes. But,
no, I laugh because, dog, I'm not laughing at your story. I'm laughing because it is. Like, dog, I just went through some stuff the other day, like, my mind, you know?
And and it just goes, you know? Mm. And man, and what I'm doing now, and like, I got to go to therapy. I mean, I'm going to therapy, I don't have to. I get to.
Mm-hmm.
I get to go to therapy. You know, I got to take a few meds now.
Mm-hmm.
Before, I would have never told anybody that, but it is what it is.
Oh, for sure.
And hopefully there's going to be a point where I can say, okay, I'm all right. And then if I ever need it again later on, I'd say, hey, now I know what to do. But, you know, kind of going all the way back, like, It's for me that my walk started with my spirituality and my belief in my higher power as I understood it, but also that I believe that manifests itself in other ways, like you three gentlemen. Like, I remember my mom when she first met you, she gave you a hug and said, "You're the answer to my prayers."
Yeah.
So, and she always tells me too. She goes, "Don't forget to pray. You always got to pray. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything."
Mm.
She said, "I know prayers are heard and they're answered because you're proof of that."
Mm.
She tells me that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, but, you know, and those, and to me, like, my higher power manifests himself in different ways. Like, you three gentlemen, like, I just sat here and listened to each one of you speak before I did. And I needed to hear some of that. I needed to hear what you guys had to say. And it's like, because I was a little bit heavy earlier listening to you guys, and then it just went, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy. But to allow that process and then to say, okay, man, I have proof positive. It's said to have faith in things, you know, sight unseen, right?
Mm.
But then, you know, we can't give up until that miracle happens. And then it will. And then it's like this weight is lifted off your shoulders. And it's like, man, that's what I was doing. I was being resilient. I was being persistent. I was being faithful. And I was doing everything that I was suggested to me by the people that know. And I stuck with it. Sometimes, I'm hanging on by my fingernails.
Yeah.
And thinking, shit, I don't know. But let me get to the next thing. Just this next thing.
Mm.
And there's something I realized too, that when I was thinking back, I was reflecting on this stuff, and that, man, no matter what, I've always been okay. I've always, at the most basic and fundamental level, I've been okay. Like, I can let my mind go batshit crazy,
mm-hmm.
but if I stop and say, okay, look around, I'm safe. I'm warm. I'm fed. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so and sometimes that's what I rely on, man. Like, okay, like I've been through this storm. I've been through this shit storm before, and I made it through that, so I'm going to be okay. And to me, that, again, it's just that manifestation of that higher power that I was like, man, I can't do this because I'm full of shit. And this is, and every time I try, this is where it gets me. Mm. So now I was like, man, I got to give it up. And then, which brings me to my other problem, is like, okay, I'm going to take it back now.
Oh, for sure. For sure, man. And that's, I look at the step three, you know, I'm just going to read it again real quick as we're, as you guys all shared. Yeah, man, I always love listening to your guys' perspective. Says, we made a decision to ask for help from a higher power and others who understand. To me, that's like, that's not like a one-time thing. You know, that's not like, okay, I'm done with step three. I'm not going to, and that's, I think that's what you're kind of alluding to. Like, we continuously ask for help.
Yes.
Continuously ask your higher power about it. Yeah. Yeshua HaMashiach. Like, I continuously ask my higher power for help. And I usually, when I'm praying about something, you know, that's difficult in my life, I just ask for about his will to be done. Yep. Not my will, not anybody else's will, not anybody else's agenda, but about his will be done. Because my thinking, my best thinking, lands me in jails, institutions, and ultimately harm to myself, death. So I always pray for that, you know, whatever the situation is. and then, like, learning, asking others for help, that's a continuous thing for me, too. You know, shout out to Indio Red Elk. We were just visiting. We went to a meeting down there. Man, it was good, man. It was called North 40, so it's like 40 and over.
Yeah.
Type of group, so there's a lot of recovery. There's some new people in there and stuff, but it was a packed out room. But anyway, after that, we were sitting in his car, and we're hitting the vapes, smoking our vapes and stuff, and then he was, like, talking about something that his sponsor said to him. He said he was going through something, and his sponsor told him, said, now take yourself out of that situation and put somebody else there, and what advice would you give that person? And he said, now, whatever advice you would give that person, take that advice and you use that advice. Huh. And I was just like, boom. Yeah. I was mind blown. I was like, what? So that's like another tool that I have now. You know, if I can't get a hold of one of you guys, you know, because life happens. There's times, you know, when I'm faced with something and I can't get a hold of anybody. You know, nobody's responding. No texts or whatever. And that's another tool I have now in the toolbox. It's like, okay, if this was JC's problem, what would I tell him? And then using that advice for myself and moving forward, I was just like, poof.
That's kind of goes along the lines of what I always say too, is like, when I'm offering my experience, strength, and hope, it's like I'm talking to myself too anyway. Mm. You know what I mean? So, I get that. I just never heard it put like that. So, that's kind of profound. I like that.
Yeah. No, that was good. And, shout out to Indio for sharing that with me. I even told him, I was like, what? I was like, man, you just blew my mind.
For me, when JC was talking and sharing, okay, step three in AA says, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him.
Yeah.
And it's past tense. You know what I mean? So if, like he said, he was talking about all these resilient things, right? And so that's God.
Mm.
And that's what I got. You know what I mean? Like, just now, like, God spoke to me through JC because, like, I didn't understand that part. Like, as we understood, I'm like, what does that mean? That's past tense. That's like, you know, but when JC was sharing that, it was just like revealing itself. Just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. I'm so into AA right now. It's crazy because, like, man, they call me to do, you know, whatever. Can you go open the door? Can you go whatever? Yeah, and because they know I'll do it. You know what I mean? Because I can be depended on. Before, nah. I'll say yeah, but, you know, I'll say yeah, but nah. You know, F you, you know? But today it's like, okay, if someone's going to get some good out of this, you know, and maybe possibly save their lives from alcoholism or addiction or whatever, then I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and that's the same thing here. You know what I mean? Like, and like, as far as like you, those people that are full of shit.
Yeah.
Like, I've been there. I mean, I'm going through it right now.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm trying to be real. I'm trying to be, you know what I mean? And it's hard for me because I don't know why. I think people think that I'm trying to be better than them or act better than them because I'm sober. It's not that way. Like, I have feelings for these people that are, you know, in and out of sobriety and, you know what I mean, or whatever, and stuck in addiction. Like, I pray for them, you know what I mean? And it's like...
That's tough, too.
Yeah, it's really tough.
It's tough to see people that you care about going through that, and it's like, man, I just want to will them. But
brainwash them.
Yeah, just do something, man. Slap them around.
But early on, I realized I can't save everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so that was... That had to go real quick.
Oh, for sure.
Really? You can't save anybody.
Yeah, you can't. Save yourself. I mean, you know.
Yeah. You can do the work. And, like, what helped me initially was that, okay, I can be that example. Like, I can walk the red road and, like, hey, you guys want to come with me? Cool, man. Let's go. Let's do this. But if you don't, cool.
It's all good.
All right, man. We're over here. We're going to be doing this. If you guys want to catch up, join us, go ahead. Cool, man. We're going to go.
No, I think that's, you know, amazing when a person recognizes that, right? Like, we can't play God. We can never change anybody, no matter how hard we try or pray. Ultimately, it's really up to them to realize. And that's why I feel like it's so important to set those boundaries in a healthy way and be like, hey, I'm not going to put up with this. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, it's not my fault that you lose sight of the value that I carry.
Hmm.
You know, because ultimately, at the end of the day, I want you to win. You don't want yourself to win. So I'm not going to disturb my peace because you fail to realize the value that I carry.
Mm.
And I feel like that's really, like, what it's about. Like, that goes for everything.
Mm.
You know, that goes for everything in life. It's like, man, like, your failure to realize my value is not my emergency.
Mm.
Because I'm giving you gems. I want to see you win. I want the best for you.
Yeah.
But because you fail to make that choice, it's not my responsibility to fight your war for you.
Mm-hmm.
All I can do is lead by example, like you're saying.
Yep.
And bro, like, once we establish those boundaries, the peace that we carry becomes harder to disturb.
Yep.
You know, it does. Because, dog, like, that's what I say, man. Like, the most expensive thing that I've ever paid for is the peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I refuse to lose that for anything or anybody.
Right on. Like, would you think of it like you just love yourself so much that you're not going to you're not going to disturb your peace
for someone else's? We have to love ourselves. Yeah, especially, like, for me, like, being a believer, Jesus said, like, to love yourself as your to love your neighbors as yourself. He said there's two commandments.
Mm-hmm.
To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, loving yourself, bro, like, is enough to be like, hey, I'm not going to take your disrespect. Even in terms of female relationships, right? Like, if they want to remain friends, it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't have pen pals. I love myself enough to know that if you don't see my value, somebody else will. It's not up for me. It's not up to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody else will see the value that I carry. Yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, like, that goes for everything, bro. Business, professional, personal, family. You know, like, setting the boundaries, bro, and being firm. And the people that get offended by the boundaries that you set were never your people in the first place, bro.
Yeah, they're just those habitual line crossers.
Mic drop. Mic drop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Like,
damn, dog, but that was
good.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was good.
Yeah, that was good. Because, like, today, like, Randy, I mean, I didn't realize this for a long time. Like, I'm a people pleaser.
Mm.
Like, I want to please everybody, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And today, like, that piece that I have, you know, after setting boundaries and learning how to set boundaries, like, I had to learn that.
Oh, for sure.
And so today, like, you know, I'm setting boundaries, you know, like, whatever. Do I apologize? And yeah, cool, whatever. You know, I'm not going to accept it. Because you did me so wrong, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm not going to accept that. Anyway, long story short, my cutoff game is, bro, it's, like, on point.
Yeah.
And everybody gets, like, PO, like, you know what I mean? But do I care? No, I don't care because I'm protecting my peace.
Yeah.
It sucks, but I got to keep moving. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I got to keep moving. I got to keep going, though.
And that's,
like,
that, and that's that outgrowing,
yeah,
know, people. Outgrowing, you know, relationships, women, outgrowing, you know what I mean?
Like, mm-hmm.
And even family. And it's tough. You know, for me, when I outgrew some people and I realized it was tough.
Yep.
You know, like, it was really tough. Mm-hmm. It was disheartening. It was whatever. But I had to go through that. Yeah. I had to go through that phase. And then, you know, like, that's when God came in.
Yep.
And he was just like, so, mic drop.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, for me, you know, it learning to value and love myself, and because I internalize that, you know, so many things, rejection or that, you know, that fear of rejection or I'm not good enough, and when people, like I said, when they're full of shit, And they project that onto me, then I internalize it and say, okay, well, maybe it is me. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I wasn't this. Maybe I wasn't that.
It's called gaslighting.
And then I realize, you know, man, like, I let that happen.
Mm.
Like, I gave up my power. I'm like, here's all my power. I'm going to give it to you. Do what you want with it. And then, you know, I can handle it. I can deal with it. But, man, what Randy just now says, like, if you can't see the value in me, somebody else will.
Yeah, bro. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Facts.
Yeah.
Check this out. Like, one of the guys that I follow shared this today. He said, rejection either means try again or take a different route.
Mm.
It never means that you're not good enough. And I feel like it's really just like this healing journey, right? Like, being clean inside, bro, like, cleansing ourselves and realizing, like, hey, man, I like what what Red Elk said, because it's like knowing what we carry, right? Like, we often give the best advice to people, but it's always harder to apply to our own lives.
Yes, sir.
And it's like, I'm like, I wanted to be funny and be like, oh, take your, there's this line by Eminem, you're like, wow, take your eyeballs out, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And cusses and everything, but really, like, that's really kind of what we have to do, is like take our eyes out and then look at ourselves inside. Yeah. Because everybody has value.
Mm.
You all mean something to somebody, whether we see it or not. And people try, not people, but the, you know, there's forces that try to convince us to make us feel like we're not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
When really, at the end of the day, we are.
We are good enough.
Yeah, we are good enough. You do deserve sobriety. You do deserve everything that you're believing God for. You do deserve everything that you're dreaming for. You do.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But just because things aren't working out the way that you've pictured them, that may not be the route. And I feel like that's always the hardest, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because I battle that rejection too. Like, that's one thing that I really battle. But the thing that's helped me recently has been journaling.
Mm-hmm.
Dog, like, I look forward to it in the morning. Like, all right, everything that bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Because, dog, I was watching this video the other day. I don't know. Was it you that shared it? Somebody shared it. But he said the mind is a complex thing. You can work out thing. He said, of course you can work out. What's 4 + 4? You can work that out in your head. The problem with people that are living life are, once you get to what's 444 plus 579, he's like, that's a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of us are trying to work out complex problems in our head when we need to be writing them down and working them out.
That reminds me, I followed this guy too, and He said, and it was appealing to me because he said, we have to quit like being, you know, we're not human tryings. We're not human doings. And he said, we have to start being what God made us out to be. And he said, we are human beings. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm trying, you know, or I'm doing this. And it's no, you have to be it.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, boom. You know, and that's what I got from, that's what reminded me, you know, and so that was powerful, man. And from there, you know, you take these little steps, kind of like an escalator.
Yeah.
But it does, you know, you just keep going. And that's how I feel today. Like, I feel like I moved up.
Word.
Ka-chick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
right on, man. That's
thank
awesome.
You guys for having me, man.
Back charge.
Back charge fireworks.
No, that so like the flip side of that coin. I always like to go to the flip side here. When individuals reach out to me, you know, man, I'm like, let's go. Man, it lights a fire under me. You know, when somebody's faced with something, they like shoot a text or a messenger or call me, and they're like, man, can you talk? I'm like, yep, let's talk. Let's go. Like that being about it. Uh-huh. You know, being about that step three, asking for help. Yep. I'm like, hell yeah, let's go, man. What's up? And then they go, blah, 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 boom, boom. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, boom, here. This is what helps me. And boom, like give them those suggestions. You know, I'm never like, you got to do 1, 2, 3 and ABC. You know, I'm like, this is what helped me.
Yeah. Do this and get back to me.
Yeah.
For me, when someone reaches out to me, like, I take them right to step four. I'll be like, what did you do for them to react that way? Or what did you do? Why are you going through this? Why you didn't study for the tests? You know, like that kind of stuff. So it all comes back to, you know what I mean?
That's what
my sponsor does all the time.
Oh, for sure.
I'm like, oh, da, 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 da. He's like, well, what did you do? And I'm like, all right, yeah, it was me. So it always, you know, and like Randy said, you know, I take our eyeballs out and, you know, and my sponsor.
What's the common denominator here?
Take my effing eyeballs out, turn them around. that's the line, remember? Yeah.
And one more thing. Man, we went to the gala. March 26th.
Yeah.
And I think, man. January, my bad. March Madness. Anyway, so it was great.
That was
like Josiah got to witness, you know, my side of, you know, and you did too. The 2 years ago. Anyway, so it was amazing. You know, like Josiah was there, my sponsor was there, and my best friend was there, you know, and he's my boss, but he's my best friend, you know, and so. Like, they got to see me, you know, get on stage, and they were taking pictures of me, and we got to take videos, and it was awesome, you know? And, like, that's what keeps me sober and keeps me focused and keeps me motivated.
Let's go.
It's you guys.
I'll backtrack real quick. Did you say power, JC?
No, I did not say power.
Power. Wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood.
Of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
Precious blood of the Lamb.
Power, who can the one name no one?
Of the Lamb, hey, Arne, hey, Arne.
Sometimes you just gotta accept things for
what they are. Acceptance is key.
Yeah.
Acceptance, who can the one name no one? Oh man, hey, that was pretty good, man. Episode 176. I think we beat that dead horse. Dead horse singers, take it away.
Dead horse,
take it away. Dead horse.
Oh, Karen. It's good to hear you and see you, Karen. All right,
now turn around for me.
Now spin.
I gave Karen an Indian name.
Oh, what's that? What is it?
His sister. Oh.
Yeah. All right, man. It's a good place to end it, huh?
Yep.
Any special announcements?
No.
Nope.
All right, man. So, to all our.
I one thing.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to ask help promote Weston Native theme April 19th at MSUB. They got some Native speakers that are coming from. I wish I would have brought the thing, but anyway. So
send us a digital copy. Yes, we'll send it on. Sir. We'll share it on our.
And so yeah, I like to share that. I like to have all the Natives, all my brothers, you know, because. I got this thing for Josiah. Hopefully he accepts. But I think, you know, I think it would be good for all of us.
For sure.
And the rest of you on the Crow Indian Reservation.
Just all you Natives in Billings.
And all the land.
Oh, yes. Another announcement, too, man. Great service opportunity coming up April 5th and 6th. MSU Billings Powwow.
Yes.
Where do they go? They go to MSU.
Yes, MSU. Powwow at msubillings.edu.
Yeah, that's the email. Hit them up. You can go 2-hour time slots. You can sign up for as many time slots you can to help out with volunteer at the powwow service work opportunity.
Yes. Be of service. It keeps you out of your head.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
All right. With that, we'll sign off. And to all our listeners under the firmament, we love you. We appreciate you. And to our unspoken words disciples, keep spreading unspoken words, gospel, Billy Graham style. Hey.
Be kind to yourself.
Let's go Indians.
Get out my head, plug in the mic and leave nothing unsaid. Now sit back, relax, and listen to